check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Yeah, you hear that song, it can only mean one thing. The SOC back in your ear hole, back with a bang. How about twice this week? We dip inside the box, right? Step three, open the box. We're back in it. You heard our boxing return, Rafe Boogs in BC early in the week. Now it's a little bit of bonus time, little interview special ahead of what should be a very good ESPN Plus card on Saturday. It's going to take place in Las Vegas, and it's for those two junior welterweight titles when the pride of Fresno, Jose Ramirez, goes in there against Victor Postel. A sneaky great fight. I know we're all on the road right now to all things Ramirez Taylor, Josh Taylor, the tartan tornado, if you will. But we ain't getting there with all four belts unless Ramirez gets through Postel first. So you're like, you know, BC, you guys are unpredictable. We want the box. We're sick of the MMA skinheads. You're never there. You know, you're never there when we call. You're never on time. What the heck's going on? You know what I got to say to you guys?
So obviously he's going to do whatever he wants.
Yeah, right. All right, enough.
Enough already, okay? All right, go make me a sandwich. Enough. I'm giving you the bonus this week. I love you. Shout out to Top Rank, the great folks there. Evan Korn, right? That small man from Las Vegas. Ed Keenan helping us out on the hooking up the interviews. Great card this Saturday. We got big-time guests on this program. Who do we got? Here it is. Unbeaten Jose Ramirez. His opponent, Victor Postel. The trainers, Freddie Roach, formerly in Ramirez's corner, now behind Postel. And we got the great Robert Garcia as well, who's taken over with Ramirez. A fun little chat, not just about this fight, but about other headlines in the news and the boxing game going on. You're going to want to stay with it and check that out. And I know what a lot of you guys are saying. There's some uncertainty. This box spot is not a knocking or a rocking lately like you would like. There have been some things going on, right? We hit some dips where there just wasn't a lot of box to open up. And MMA, whether you like it or not, red hot, UFC and all that. But Rafe and I were a little bit cryptic earlier this week, and I think it misled some people. So while I put it out, why don't we put all things out on the table? Some things out on the table. Okay, thank you, Jeff Hahn. So as you know, I do a great show. It's a fun show. It's a fantastic show. Every Monday on YouTube, brought to you by Showtime. It's called Morning Combat. Myself, the great Luke Thomas, breaking down all things MMA, boxing, ridiculousness, all that great stuff. It is expanding. It is growing. Luke Thomas has joined the Viacom CBS family, will be a part of what we're doing at CBS Sports. CBS Sports HQ, Showtime Boxing. Obviously, he knows the box, but he's an MMA lover. He's built himself an incredible following on YouTube there. Him and I are going to be doing an expansive assault on your senses under the CBS and Showtime flags with Morning Combat. Basically every day, basically 5 days a week. We might start small. We might hit you with three live episodes a week. But with that and the extended bonus content, you're pretty much, if you subscribe on YouTube to Morning Combat, you're going to get overwhelmed with interviews, with fun shows, with wild shows, previews, reviews. We got experts. We got all that. So I know a lot of you are saying, what about the SOC? Well, the SOC is going away, but that doesn't mean that me, my partner, the things that you've come to love from us are going away. And that's the good news today. All right, I bring good news. I mean, a lot of people say, who's that guy you do the box pod with?
Who's this person you're interviewing?
I'm sorry?
Rafe. I'm Rafe.
Yeah, thank you. He's Rafe. He inspires me. All right? All right, where are we? Where are we right now? Where am I even on the soundboard? Okay, all right. Here we go.
Venus.
that really inspired me. Because
we're not going away. All right. So here's what you're going to get. All right. You're going to get all kinds of Morning Combat. But underneath that flag, that banner, you're going to get a lot of different kind of spinoffs, a lot of creative ideas. All the stuff, if you're an MMA fan, that you loved on Luke Thomas's YouTube channel is coming under the Morning Combat banner. Live chats with the fans, dissected breakdowns ahead of big fights, and what BC and Rafe Bugs do. That weird left field, behind the fence style. I see what you're doing by the hot dog stand, so to speak. We're not going anywhere, okay? But will it be every week? I don't know, probably not. Every other week, I don't know. It depends. It depends how we get in a flow. But we're gonna bring hitting the audio. We're gonna hit it video. You can catch us on YouTube. It's gonna be a part of the Morning Combat universe. I don't know what it's gonna be called, but Rafe ain't going nowhere. I ain't cutting the cord on that fellow. All right. So if you're left over of the hardcores, right? Not the regular fans. I'm talking about the hardcores, the hard men. Don't go anywhere. Stay subscribed. All right. We got to do some things internally at Showtime, CBS, Viacom, CBS to make this all work. But the contracts have been signed. Everyone's good. Everyone's happy. We're going to give you the content. We're going to give you the hardcore show that Rafe and I do. Okay. It's not for everyone. All right. You know, it's a little bit weird, right? It's a little bit out there. There's, you know, it's good. You know, do I love doing it?
Yes, I do.
Indeed. And I don't want to stop. Okay. And I know you don't want me to stop. And thank you, you DM sliders, the same people who complain and attack us when we don't do it. Said, don't leave me. You know what I mean? Don't take off. Right. I mean, they were, you know,
attention seeking ass females.
But I love them, though. So thank you for doing that. We're not going anywhere, okay? Because I'm great. This show is great.
Judge me. Watch me. Applaud me. I'm great.
Thank you. And you're great for staying with us all this time. Rafe and I, you know, this is a relationship, right? This is like Jeffrey and Joe, Monty and Freddie, Danny. It's Danny's night. Danny and The Rock for a little bit, right? Now it's, you know, Danny and Angel. This is one of the great relations in boxing history, okay? Started at the bottom, still at the bottom, but we're here. We did the Grantland thing, the ropes, all right? We did the Snapchat thing, the ropes cast. We did the In This Corner thing. We did the State of Combat thing. We may have to do the morning Combat thing too, okay? Just stay with us, love us, enjoy it, okay? I mean, it's not, you know.
Not quite 80,000, though, was it tonight?
I mean, you never know. Yeah, I don't care how many people download it. Not quite 80K, whatever. Whatever, all right? It's part of the deal, part of the universe, part of this family. Stay with us. Support Luke Thomas. Support me. Morning Combat, it's the future. It's the way. Keep your SOC t-shirts and beer koozies. Keep them, okay? All right? But support what we're doing there. Thank you very much, all right? Because, you know, at the end of the day,
I love you. I make you a bet.
Okay, you make me flip cheeseburgers. That's enough. It's enough weird jokes, enough sound drops. Yeah, all right? Okay? It's been a slow go to get you the update. I get that.
You're slow. You're slow. You're easy. I'm going. Yeah, slow, bro. You're slow. S-L-A-O.
S-L-A-O, indeed, okay? But we're going to do it. So here's what we're also going to do. You're going to sit here and listen to some great interviews, all right? This is the order of operation. We're going to go bang, bang. It's going to be Jose Ramirez, Victor Postal, Coach Roach, Coach Robert Garcia coming at you, all right? And, you know, beyond that, keep following what we're doing here because CBS is all in on the combat game. So whether you just like to open the box, whether you get down on the other side, whether you like both, whether you like BKFC, we got you covered, all right? So say hello to your good friends. I love your daddy. Say hello to everybody in your family from BC.
We need you to do this, if not for yourself, then for your abuela. Do it for your granddaddy. Do it for your big mama. Do it for your pop.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going. We're going places. We're going to cover this combat game, all right? All right? Not everybody loves MMA. I get that.
It's a great, great sport. I love that mixed martial arts. I don't. I think it's trash.
Thanks, Bob. Thanks. Okay, enough of that. Enough of the ridiculousness. Quick pause for the cause on the other side. It's Top Rank Fever. Can you catch it? It's Ramirez. It's Postal. It's everyone else. Enjoy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
All right. I want to talk to the pride of Fresno, California. Bring me Jose Ramirez right now, my man. Big time fight. How you feeling?
I'm feeling great. You know, I'm feeling very motivated. Weight's good. So I'm ready to go, man. I'm ready to rumble. It's been a long training camp.
Long training camp indeed. The quarantine is enough to mess with a man, right? Now you had this fight scheduled three separate times. I know you didn't have to fly all the way to China, but how do you describe what that does to a fighter when it's you're almost peaking and then you're stopping and then you're starting again?
Well, the first fight, I was at my peak. When I was, it got literally canceled a week and a half before the fight. So I was already, you know, I was already at my peak. I was ready to take off to China. But, you know, we the first fight was scheduled February 1st, which means I trained through the holidays. Me being a father, a family man, those are important holidays, you know, holidays for me and my family. Those are important times for me to get to enjoy my family. But, I know we have to sacrifice because I know there's going to be a reward where I'm able to give privileges and be able to support my family through my sacrifices. But when the time comes and you did all the sacrifices and there's no reward, obviously mentally, you know, brings some frustration. But we gotta, but everything happens for a reason. I'm a big believer on that. And, we brought the fight back to May 9th in California, which got canceled again for the second time. After that, there was no direction. And that's the first time I've been as a professional with no direction to where should I be in the gym training for a fight or should I just relax and let my body recover and wait until I get a date? But in my mind, I'm so self-motivated. I'm so self-disciplined. I can't allow myself to just sit back. I got the fight behind my, running behind my mind. So I tell myself, you can't put your guard down. You got to go back to Riverside and continue training with Robert Garcia, and waiting for his fight to happen. So as soon as we got August 29th, I was excited. I stayed at the gym for the last 8 weeks. It was a total of 9 weeks. But I was training throughout the month of May, throughout the month of April, for a couple of weeks throughout the month. So it's been, it felt like I've been in the gym the whole year, man. So I'm ready to go.
Absolutely. This is great. I wanted to sidetrack a bit from this fight and just say, look, I've been in the crowd in Fresno when you have a big time event and it feels like it shuts down the city. You know, we've seen Terrence Crawford get that in Omaha. We don't see that a lot. You've got a connection with your people. And despite being a pro fighter, you seem to be really focused on giving back at a very young age and feel that responsibility. Where does that come from? Because I feel like every fight, part of your proceeds or something seem to be going to bring attention to those in need.
Yeah, man. I'm always, I've been a blessed guy. I've been a guy who grew up with a loving family, and that made me rich. I wasn't financially rich, but I had a family who loved me and respected me and supported me in my career. And, and to this point, man, my family is very supportive. And now I have my own family. I have my own son that I love and my fiance and all the blessings that are to come and that I'll be, telling the public pretty soon about, things that are going in my personal life that I'm excited to share. But now that thanks to boxing, it's opened up the doors for me to be able to give back, to be able to share some of that glory with the people that I respect. And most of those people are in central part of California. It's hardworking people, immigrants who come in and work, and they don't complain. They contribute to the community. They're good people. They're my neighbors. They remind me of us. They're like a mirror. Me watching them is like me watching my family in the mirror. So, if I have a chance to be able to share some of my glory with them, man, I'm always gonna do it.
I really respect that.
Because I don't need too much. I'm a very blessed man.
All right, we got a big fight here with Postal. And as much as everybody wants you to fight Josh Taylor, they want all four belts on the line. I want that. Give me that. This fight ain't no gimme against Postal. As tough and out as you can find in this division, what are the potential pitfalls, troubles he could give you?
You know, he's a very awkward fighter. You know, he's crafty. You know, he clinches a lot when somebody puts pressure, and it makes it seem like it's not him clinching. So he's very tricky when it comes to fighting in the inside, and he's very, very long. So he obviously is a very complicated fighter, and he's a very experienced fighter. He only lost to Josh Taylor by decision and Terrence Crawford by decision. So other than that, you know, he's never been in a very close fight. He's always been in control of his fight. So this is a mandatory. You know, if it was up to me, I'd go straight to Josh Taylor, but you know, there's nothing I could do. WBC said I had to fight Postal next, or else they strip my title away. So I gotta do what I gotta do. But hopefully I will show Victor Postal something he hasn't seen before in his career. I wanna, you know, show him and overwhelm him by strong pressure, by strong punch, by my speed, by my technique, by my skills, and in every single way overwhelm Postal and take control early on and hopefully get the victory.
Do you think he can be overwhelmed with pressure?
Yeah, I think so. I think I seen him when Terrence Crawford put pressure, he was having trouble fighting going backwards.
All right, let me ask you this, because a lot of people, journalists like me, we always try to put a soap opera, put a narrative together. You're going back against the old trainer, Freddie Roach, again. His guy, Jose Zepeda, gave you a very good fight. Could have gone either way. Is there any advantages the second time around to have the old coach across from you?
Yeah, this is a third fight. You know, he was also in Antonio Arroyo's corner.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, he was also in Antonio Arroyo's corner, and I seen another good friend of mine, Marvin Samudio, who's also here in Postal's corner. You know, it's part of the game, man. You know, I respect every single fighter that steps in the ring. I respect every single coach who dedicates their lives to improve a fighter and show them. And I owe them a lot too, because thanks to them, it's what made me who I am now. You know, and Marvin Garcia just added more things to it. So I'm focused on what I got. You know, what I'm going to bring to the table. You know. Obviously, Freddie's job is to motivate his fighter and, you know, let him know that he has a big chance, obviously, and encourage him. But I know once, you know, he's in the ring with me, it's only me and Postal. Freddie's not going to be in there.
Absolutely. I can respect that as well. Look, you're one of the hottest rising stars in this game, a guy who, you know, you won over the hardcore fans. You're starting to attract the casual fans as well. The money division, though, is 47. It's going to be hard for me to ask you this question when Postal's a tough out, and then Josh Taylor for all the belts if you get there would be incredible. But Terrence Crawford can't find anybody to fight. Is that part of your goal, to keep climbing up and eventually get in the ring with a guy who could be the pound-for-pound king in Bud?
Most definitely. I think, you know, I think if everything goes well, my ideal plan is obviously go through Postal, go through Josh Taylor, and move up to 147, straight to 147. And if fight for an interim title or fight for a title eliminator against a 147 pounder, or just go straight to Terrence Crawford, depending on how I feel.
All right. Give me two words to describe this fight. Final question. What are we going to see Saturday night?
You're going to see, that's a good question, man. It's a very explosive fight, a very explosive and technical fight.
I'll take it. Best of luck. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you.
Hey, Iceman, my man, always fired up to talk to Postal. But brother, you waited like a year for this fight. I feel like you've been in training camp for forever. Have you had a cheeseburger at all? I mean, you feel like you've been in peak shape now for 12 months. How you doing?
Полгода, 6 місяців я був на дієті. Но полгода до этого, да, я расслаблялся, ел чизбургеры, ел шашлык, ел сало. Украинская наша, поэтому мне не привыкать.
Yeah, 6 months before the fight, I've been on a straight diet. But 6 months before, I had some, you know, some very, very tasty food. So, I mean, I'm doing good. And it's actually been more than a year. It's been since April, I guess.
Is there any advantage, Victor, in having to wait this long? Has it made you extra angry? Are you going to bed thinking about Jose Ramirez? What's the, you know, how do you do this when you've had to wait so many times for this fight to finally happen?
Да ничего, просто я знаю, что бой состоится. Я официальный претендент. Я готовлюсь, тренируюсь и жду просто боя. Понятно, этот коронавирус, ждем, но слава богу, этот бой уже состоится.
Well, I just know that the fight is gonna happen, and I know it, and I'm just waiting for it. That there is nothing special you can do. You just wait and keep yourself disciplined to be ready.
All right, Victor. Freddie said the game plan is box, box, box. But we know Jose Ramirez, all action coming at you. Are you ready to dig in and have to fight early on if you have to?
Yes. Да, я готов. Я сам хочу выиграть нокаут там. Но в первую очередь я буду ставить цель, грамотно отбоксировать. А там, если будет возможность выиграть нокаут там, я выиграю. И я готов, если он побежит, будет идти вперед, и у меня не будет ничего не получаться, допустим, я готов принять, встать, подраться, потому что это последний бой, мой последний шанс, можно сказать.
Yes, of course. I'm ready to stand, to hold the ground and fight him if I have to. And I'm prepared well to box him, but if he will be running a lot to me and I, you know, and for some reason I cannot box, I'll hold my ground, I'll fight, because I understand this is the last chance, you know, to get those belts, and I'm ready for everything.
You did just say the words, last chance. You're 36 years old. Does that change your preparation at all, or your hunger, knowing that if you win this, you got big fights ahead of you? If you lose it, it's going to be harder to get back there.
Я в том смысле, что я выложусь, постараюсь выложиться полностью, потому что все-таки шанс, два пояса, и если нужно идти ва-банк, я пойду ва-банк, а в первую очередь я буду грамотно боксировать.
Well, first of all, I'll fight smart, I'll box him, but again, it's not because I'm 36, it's just the situation in the ring. If I have to, I'll be fighting, I'll go all in. But we'll see in the ring how it goes.
All right, speaking of going all in, my friend and your friend, Ivan Redkach, he goes all in on his hair with some crazy-ass colors. It gets him fired up under that Iceman hat. Are we going to see you with the bright orange or bright pink on Saturday night?
Нет, у меня... я красить волосы не буду. Я горжусь тем, что я выхожу в ринг, я прославляю Украину. У меня будет новая музыка, у меня будет новая форма в стиле Украины. Вот и все.
No, I won't paint my hairs. I'm proud of what I can do in the ring and what I can do for Ukraine. And I'll have some new music when I'm gonna be walking out, some new trunk and jacket. So you'll see. It'll be nice.
What is the story behind the Iceman nickname? Where does it come from?
С Украины, с Америки, США, когда я боксировал с Ильчиком Айдином, когда я его выиграл, вот с того мне дали фаны прозвище.
Почему?
Потому что, когда я пропустил удар, я все трезво, я не растерялся, трезвый ум, холодная голова, и вот за этого дали мне такое прозвище.
The nickname Iceman came from US, actually, after the fight with Aydin. When I got a punch from Aydin, it was a hard punch, but I didn't change my face was the same, you know, my emotions been the same. I had a cold mind. I had a plan to win the fight, and I guess that's the reason they give me the nickname Iceman.
All right,
so no emotions, no nothing.
Last question here, Victor. We learn from defeats in life. You've had two high-profile defeats, Crawford, Taylor, what did you learn from those that can help you win on Saturday?
Ну да, да, я знаю то, что я проиграл только лучшим боксерам, абсолютному чемпиону и Тейлору, победителю суперсерии. Это большой опыт я взял как боксировать, немножко подучился. Но все равно я уже в годах, у меня уже и так большой опыт. Я рад, что я какой-то опыт уже получил от этих боксеров.
Well, it's a big experience. They one of the best fighters, I think, right now. And it's hard to tell what exactly. It's just an experience, you know. And beside that, I have tons of experience before them. So I'm happy that I have it in my pocket and I can show something because of it.
Thank you, sir, for the time. Best of luck, Victor. Thank you, Vadim. Go get him, buddy.
Thank you.
Coach Roach, can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, I can hear you well.
Great talking to you, as always. Look, this is a really big fight, but it took you guys a long way to get here. Be honest with me, Freddie. How much did it suck to land in China and have to turn around to come back?
Yeah, we spent like maybe a total of 30 hours in China, and we had one training session, and then we had to go home. But it was unusual, but just part of life.
This one has been started and stopped three times. We're finally here. Is there any advantage or disadvantage from the training point of view to get your fighter so close to peaking and have to do it all over again?
I don't think so. The thing is, we just took it as it came and just I trained him individually. And, I know his opponent very well. And I think I know how to beat him, and we're ready.
Well, Freddie, in full disclosure, I thought you did beat him when you had Jose Zepeda going against him. You were also there with Orozco against him. How much can you learn from those two fights to help guide Postal to the victory this time around against the great Jose Ramirez?
It helps somewhat. And, but Jose is not the exact same example or the same opponent. And he is a very good boxer, and he knows how to box well. And I think the winner of this fight is the guy who outboxes the other.
Jose told me he believes Victor can be pressured. He can be overcome like Terrence Crawford was able to do. How do you respond to that?
Well, I hope so. If he wants to come to us, I think it's a beautiful thing. And we'll outbox him all night long with the left hand.
Freddie, what would you say if somebody called you the greatest trainer of all time?
I've had a lot of good fighters that I've been around. I've had a lot of good trainers I've been around. And I think I'd rather they're the best trainers in the world.
We remember from the reality show back in the day, your brother, Pepper Roach, he was an absolute star. Was he a good fighter too, Freddie? I always wanted to know this.
He was a really, really good fighter, a very good amateur, won Golden Glove tournament in New England many times, won nationals, and then went to the Army team. But he just didn't have the discipline or the drive to stay on the right track.
He also made a few bad tattoo choices, but he's going to have to deal with that, Freddie. How did you come up with the name Wildcard to build your legendary gym?
I was moving from Las Vegas to LA, and I was saying, it was a really good name for Vegas. But then I ended up in LA and I took the name with us, and Wildcard really came from Las Vegas, but it's now in LA.
Freddie, you've had success with so many big names. Why does it work for you and Victor Postal, even with the language barrier? You've had to deal with that before. Why does this relationship work?
We get along very well. We respect each other immensely. And he's a very good student and good boxer. And he's a good guy to hang out with. He's a very low-key guy. And, he's a very good person, family man. And, he trains hard, and I like that. People who work hard do well.
All right, you're going to be across from another great trainer in Robert Garcia. You've seen him before across from you. Do you get extra jazzed up when there's another sort of big name, quote-unquote legend, that you want to beat across the way?
Yes, it's always I'm a very competitive person, and I like to compete, and he's a very good trainer. And, he was a world champion at one time, and not everybody in the world can be a world champion. I know I couldn't, and he has. And so I give him a lot of a lot of credit for that. It's not an easy thing to do, and he's had a great career, and I'm just going to slow him down a little bit, though.
What are the keys to victory here for Postal against Ramirez?
Box, box, box. Just outbox this guy. That's all you have to do. He's a puncher. He swings from left field. He's a good body puncher in close, yes. But if you stay in the boxing pose, keep him on the end of the jab, you will beat him easily.
Freddie, our good friend Oscar De La Hoya thinks it's still okay to keep fighting at this age. You trained him before. What would you tell him if he called you? He said, Freddie, I need you back in the corner, brother.
I'll pass on that one. I like Oscar. He's a great guy. But I just think it's a little bit too late. And I just hope he doesn't get hurt.
All right, final question here, Freddie. You're a legend. You've seen it all. You've been in the gym for magical sparring matches. We're not supposed to tell those stories, but I think the statute of limitations are past now. Pacquiao, Khan, what did that look like when they went at it?
Amir Khan and Pacquiao, very good work. They were very good work for each other. Pacquiao did knock him down one day, yes. It was a flash knockdown, though. He got up and finished a round. It wasn't like he got knocked out or anything like that. It was just a flash knockdown. And, you know, Pacquiao's explosive, and Amir Khan had the similar speed. And it was really, really fun to watch. It was a great matchup.
Absolutely. Freddie, thank you for everything. Best of luck. It's going to be a good fight. Good luck to you, buddy.
Take care. Thank you.
Yes, Robert Garcia, trainer of the stars, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Doing great. Look, we're super excited about this fight. I'm sure you are, or maybe were. It's like over a year later. Have you ever been a part of a fight that's had so much stopping and starting to get to it?
Look, never been in this situation before, but, you know, it's nothing we have control. We've had control over, you know, it's the pandemic, and it hit hard, and it affected not only this one, but a lot of other fights, but in particular Jose Ramirez, because it's been, I believe this is the third camp we've had to prepare for this fight.
Let's ask you this honest question. What makes Jose Ramirez so good?
Look, his dedication is the main thing. You know, he's very dedicated. He's focused on performing well and not he's focused on pleasing everybody. You know, that's one thing he always has in mind. He doesn't want to disappoint anybody, so he trains very hard. You know, other things, obviously, his heart is something that makes a big difference, too. His heart inside the ring is one of those that won't give up, and only one thing in mind is to go and win.
What'd you learn from watching the tape of the two Postal losses, elite fights, Crawford, Taylor, that you guys feel like you are able to have an edge when this fight takes place on Saturday?
Well, look, those fights in particular didn't really, it's not that I was really studying those fights. I seen them and everything, but didn't really study them because those are fights against left-handers. You know, Crawford fights lefty most of the time, and Taylor's a left-hander. So, you know, I watched clips of other fights, the Matisse fight, stuff like that. You know, obviously I did watch the Crawford fight too because Crawford's, you know, pound for pound, the best fighter of the world, you know, right now. So I wanted to see how well he did against him, you know, I think the Lucas Matisse fight was probably the one that I studied the most. I've been watching that over and over, you know, because he's a right hander, he's a guy that comes forward. I just think Postol did a great job against Matisse. You know, he came to a point where Matisse gave up and didn't want to continue.
I asked Freddie, what's the game plan to beat Jose Ramirez? Because obviously he's been in the camp before. He's seen both sides. He says for Postal, it's box, box, box. He said, if Ramirez wants to come at him, we would love that. I mean, is there any other way for Jose Ramirez to win than to do with his patented pressure?
Well, look, Jose, that's what everybody knows. That's what he's going to do, and that's what he does every fight. You know, he pressures his opponents, no matter whoever it is. You know, I do work on him with, you know, with using his jab a lot more, maybe in and out once in a while, side, but we all know, and, you know, it's no secret to the boxing world that Jose loves to go after his opponents and put the pressure. So definitely that's what's gonna happen in the fight.
Do you think Postal has the potential to be vulnerable to that kind of pressure?
Well, look, Postol is a great boxer, and he's awkward also. He's difficult, you know. He's experienced. He has a lot of experience when it comes to inside. He holds that. He knows how to hold. He knows how to turn his head so he doesn't get hit. And if there's punches thrown, they're going to be in the back of his head. So that's one thing that I know he's really good at. So, you know, he's awkward. He's difficult. He boxes well. He uses his reach very well. But, you know, we got to find a way to get inside and work that body.
Yeah. Look, this isn't just two great fighters, two great trainers, and we love that. You've gone against Freddie before. What's the record? What are some of the best fights you've had when you guys were coaching fighters against each other?
Well, look, I think we've been against each other five times, and the two that he has beat me are the two Pacquiao fights, Pacquiao Margarito and Pacquiao Brandon Rios. The other ones were maybe not as big fights, but I did beat him with Stevie Luevano against the Filipino that Stevie Luevano fought. The other one was Abner Mares against Cuellar. And most recently was Jose Ramirez, actually, which was a very, very close fight. Jose Ramirez, oh my God, I can't remember his name, a lefty that Jose Ramirez just fought two fights ago. Oh, man, can't think of his name. But, yeah, Freddie Roach was in the corner. It was a very close fight. It was actually a split decision, I believe.
Yeah, Jose Zepeda. That guy's a good boxer.
Yeah, Zepeda. There you go, Zepeda. So those are the five times we've been against each other. This is going to be our sixth time. I'm 3-2 against him. But like I said, they've all been pretty close fights. And especially the Zepeda fight was very, very close. And this one, I know it's going to be a good one, too, you know. I know Freddie Roach is a great trainer, has great game plan, and is going to do whatever it takes.
Why did Jose exit the Freddie camp and go with you? Was that a clean exit? I know sometimes fighters, you know, they just make up their mind. They want to call you and say it's over. What was the story behind you getting in with Jose?
Well, look, we were already talking, and he had already been training in my gym for 2 weeks before he became champion. But he was training in my gym, and he told me, look, Robert, this is where I want to be, and I'm going to come back after I become champion. But I think I owe that title to Freddie Roach. So he decided, you know, he wanted to get that last title fight with Freddie Roach. But, you know, from what I understand, it was just more of, you know, him not having the motivation anymore. He feels very comfortable in my gym with everybody around him supporting him. You know, he gets sparred Virgil Ortiz, my brother Mikey, you name them, you know. He's around Josito Lopez and sparred Brandon Rios a few times about a year ago. So, you know, he gets that motivation from all the fighters around him supporting him, he said he wouldn't get that with Freddie Roach anymore. You know, it came to a point where Freddie Roach, you know, wasn't really giving his full effort. That's from what I understand. That's what he told me. But you know, he knows, and we all know how good of a trainer Freddie Roach is. But there's that moment when it comes where the fighter just doesn't feel comfortable anymore, and they have to make a move. You know, it wasn't because he wasn't with one of the best, if not the best. You know, Freddie Roach is definitely the best, at least in the last 20-30 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned Virgil Ortiz Jr., one of my favorite fighters. So much potential, but there's different kinds of potential. There's future champion potential, and then there's, hey, I think that's the next Oscar De La Hoya potential. What do you see in training camp with Virgil that gives you that feeling that this guy is not just special, but super extra special?
Well, look, I think this kid is a complete package. Again, you know, since he was a kid, his father taught him to be focused on the sport and dedicate to the sport and give it 100%. He trains like nobody else. And believe me, I'm not, you know, I've trained, I've been with many, many world champions. I've never seen anybody train as much as this kid. He's a hardworking man. He works out very hard. And that's one thing he learned from his dad. You know, I think he's got potential of not only being a world champion, but being, like you said, you know, could be the next Oscar De La Hoya. You know, obviously Oscar was a gold medalist and a lot more publicity for Oscar, but I think this kid, you know, at 22, is clearly on his way to becoming the best next thing in boxing.
Speaking of Oscar, you know, he's making headlines saying he wants to come back at 47, but he wants to fight like the best in the game. Whatever on that. You retired early, and we know the story. Why? You basically gotten to a point where you'd achieved a lot. You said, "That's it. I want to live my life." Did you ever get the itch though? Was there ever a time where the phone rang and you almost picked it up to come back after?
Look, never did. I retired at 26, and when I was 30. 4 years after I retired, I was 30, and I used to talk to Chicanito Hernandez, you know, rest in peace, Genaro Hernandez. He was 39, and he would call me often, or I would call him, and one day he was calling me saying he was training, and I said, you know, why would he be training? He was like 38, 39. I was 30, and he told me, Robert, you should get back in the gym. You know, there's a lot of big fights out there. You know, Pacquiao, Marquez, Barrera, Morales, we're all fighting at 130, and he says there's a lot of money out there, and I honestly never really got the urge to try to do it again. Now that I heard Oscar De La Hoya wanting to do it at 47, I'm 45, so he's still 2 years older than me. It did come to my mind to maybe challenge Oscar De La Hoya, but then I talked to my family, talked to my kids, and they told me not to do it.
When was the last time you were anywhere close to junior welterweight or junior?
Shit, you know what? Right now I'm a little bit closer now because I've been working out and I've been running in the mornings, eating healthy, and I've lost about 25 pounds already. So I'm pushing the 170s right now. So 10 more and I'm at middleweight.
I love it. I hope one day when I die, Robert, they say that man loved boxing. But as much as I love boxing, I don't think I love it anywhere as much as you love South Coast Mitsubishi. How many pieces of clothing in your closet have that dealership's logo on it right now?
Look, I'm telling you, I have so much stuff, you know, and, you know, Mr. Abbas, he's been so good to me. South Coast Mitsubishi's been, you know, they're just my friends. I still stay in touch with them. And even after this bad times, you know, the pandemic hurt everybody, and he's one of them that was hit pretty hard. You know, we're still in touch. You know, we're really good friends. It's more like a friendship relationship that we have with him.
All right. Has Mikey Garcia, your brother, the great fighter, still one of the best in the game today, did he eclipse you as a fighter? You were a champion. You were a great fighter. If he did, when was that moment where you're like, I think Mikey's the best in this family?
Well, look, when he decided to get in the ring at 14, he had never fought or he had never even trained before. So I made him do an exhibition fight in California where he had never even trained before. And the kid that he went against had already some amateur fights, and Mikey and he did really good. We were like, oh wow, you know, Mikey's got some skills, even though he had never even been to the gym. So after that, he decided he wanted to start training. But when it really hit me was when he made it to the National Junior Olympics. Mikey only had 11 fights in the Junior Olympics, and you know, the Junior Olympics is a very very competitive tournament with kids, you know, with over 100 fights. Mikey only with 11 fights made it to the very finals and, you know, in the nationals and lost a 3-2 decision to a kid from New Jersey. So right there is where I'm thinking, man, with only 11 fights, I think this kid is the best of the Garcias.
Love it. All right, final question. Great talking to you as always, Robert. If Jose Ramirez beats Postal, we know we want him against Josh Taylor, all that, but do you see him eventually becoming a welterweight star, and do you think he's got the kind of game that can give Bud Crawford some troubles?
Look, definitely don't like to look past our next opponent. Obviously, Postal is a great fighter, and he deserves respect. I can't really, you know, we can look past him, but there is plans. You know, obviously we have to look at the future, and if everything goes well, you know, definitely the Taylor fight is what should be next, and what it probably already is, you know, as of now, you know, that with Taylor also winning his next fight in September, They will probably fight sometime early next year. But yeah, Jose is big enough. Jose is very strong physically and mentally. So I think he could compete at 147 without a problem. You know, Crawford is pound for pound one of the best, if not the best. So it is a very tough fight. But right now, we're focused on getting that 140. Win against Postol, then Taylor, and that'll be maybe within a year or so, and we'll build him into a welterweight. I think he'll be strong enough to compete against somebody like Crawford.
Oh, wow, that's going to be fun to watch. Good luck this week.
It will be.
Can't wait to see
Thank
it.
You.
Would your fighters ever fight each other? We don't want to do that. We don't need that, right?
No, not that. Look, one thing we've talked about with Mikey. Mikey's. We've told him, 140 is where you belong, Mikey. 140, he knows that 140 is where he belongs. But he's also said, look, but at 140, I won't be a world champion soon because right now I'm not going to go after Jose or I'm not going to go after Josh Taylor because that's Jose's dream, to become undisputed. So if I try to compete against 40, who am I going to fight at 140? There's nobody out there for me, unless they're world champions, and I'm not going to challenge Jose, and I'm not going to take Jose's opportunity to fight Josh Taylor and beat him to that, get that fight instead, and that ruins Jose's dreams and plans. So that's the reason. I don't think anything like that. Fighters in my stable will ever fight. But I'm sure it's other gyms. It's happened before or other trainers. But at least with me, it's going to be very hard for us to even think about that.
Got it. Great answer. Great stuff. Take care, Coach. Great talking to you as always.
Got it. Thank you.
The hit Paramount Plus original docuseries returns.
The last time I saw Max, he looked at us laughing, and then everything changed in a blink of an eye.
My feeling as a detective is that he was murdered.
Yahoo Entertainment calls it a spine-chilling docuseries showcasing real-life tragedies.
What about when your child who went missing?
We need to know the truth.
Never seen again. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.